Acts 2 to 47 to 40. Acts 2, 42 to 47. As they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, of the breaking of bread and to prayer, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being served.
Thank you, Addison. Thank you. Thank you, Addison. You have a great voice for public reading of scripture like that. Continue to practice doing that. That's great. Yeah, I taught Sunday school class, and I was exhausted at the end of teaching Sunday school class, and I said, how in the world am I going to say something here in this worship hour? But I'm already energized by the singing we've done, the clattering of coins into the bottles. We might have to rethink the announcements during offering time. Competes with the sound a little bit. And I'm really pumped because this is the day we're receiving new members into the body of Christ that gathers here at Franconia Mennonite Church. That's just pretty cool. So, yeah, I'll let you guess at the end. I think I've fully recovered from Sunday school hour eager to share with you this morning. I'd like to begin with a little quiz, okay? Which doesn't belong, or which one is different, as I put it? Anyone? Which one's different? The stripes. All right, okay, all right. All right, here's, which one is different? Huh, gets a little more complicated, doesn't it? That's what happens with mathematics, at least it happens with me. Well, I see at least three different ways we could look at this. There's one of them that is just one digit, the others have two digits, okay? That's pretty easy. And then there's one that's even, one that's even and the others are odd. But I think what's the deepest one? What's that? Prime number. Everybody got that? Which one is the prime number? 43. What makes a prime number? A number that can't be divided by any other number except one. Okay? Oh. I guess I'm finished. You all got no. Made the point. No. All right, here. And here's the next one. Which one is different? There's a close-up of a rose bowl float, an apple tree, bouquet of flowers, and the Kathy beautiful Wanger Christmas tree. Which one is different? The apple tree? What makes the apple tree different? The others are arranged. The apple tree is natural. All right. And if you look at the cover of your bulletin, you'll see the real clue. One of them has roots. The others have flowers and beautiful things. The Christmas tree, it looks pretty, but it's dying. The bouquet, gorgeous, great thing for Valentine's Day, make people happy, but it's dying. All the flower petals and all that stuff on the Rose Bowl float, no roots, no living, dying. There's only one up there, one of those that's alive. And it's alive because of the roots. The Bible frequently speaks about how roots are essential. Of course, it's an agrarian society, how roots are essential for growth, for stability, for fruitfulness. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted or rooted by the rivers of water. And everything he does flourishes. He brings forth fruit in his season. A tree rooted and growing and producing all the time. The opposite is also true. Jesus tells a story about a farmer who's going out scattering seeds. Some of it lands on the path, some on the rocks, some among thorns, some in the good soil. What happens to the seed that grows in the rocky soil? It springs up quickly. And then the sun comes out, and it becomes hot, and it scorches, and it dies because it does not have good root. Rootedness is essential for how we live, or for how a plant lives, and it becomes a metaphor for how we as Christians can stay alive. We're beginning a new sermon series here this week and this month, where we're taking a look at practices, habits, rhythms, exercises that we can do as Christians to be rooted, to plant ourselves deeply in the soil of God's love and truth, and to grow in that. These practices, we've chosen four of them. The pastors have chosen four of them. We could have chosen many more. First one, rooted in community, rooted in scripture, rooted in prayer, rooted in fasting. These are the things that we believe are essential at the beginning of this year, to get ourselves planted deeply. These aren't once and done things. These are exercises. These are like going out to the Y, going out to the gym regularly, practicing these. And I want to just point out to you that there's one of them that is particularly corporate or group oriented. It's the one for today, rooted in community. These are practices that are good for human beings. It's not just Christians who practice these things. Other religions practice them as well. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, even some quasi-religious groups like Eagles fans practice these things. You know, getting together, community, reading the latest news, listening to the teaching, those who have the strongest opinions, rooted in prayer, all the rituals you go through as somebody's trying to get a third down and 15, what do? You don't look. Almost a form of prayer, huh? Rooted in fasting, huh? There's food involved. Probably the opposite of fasting, tailgate? That's feasting. And drinking, there's food involved. So I'm just saying, these are practices that are really find their way into many different groups. What makes it special for us is that we do these at the invitation and at the blessing of Jesus Christ. We are first of all rooted in Christ, as it says in Colossians 2:7. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, Colossians 2:7. Community that is rooted, community that is rooted in Christ is the practice that I want to just lead us in studying from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 that Addison read for us. Some teaching on this. This is a picture of the early church. Acts 2:42. Ah, I see I have a typographical error there. Can you figure that one out? Which one doesn't belong? How many times did I look at that? 50 times, and I don't see it until this moment. Some of you saw it right away. Okay, it should say 47. And it would help if you have your text out, because I'm really referring to this text. They met together regularly. In verse 42, it speaks about continuing steadfastly. In verse 46, day to day, they continued to keep steadfastly gathering together. Getting together like this, or in small groups, or in other gatherings for fellowship meals, is essential for being rooted in community that is rooted in Christ Jesus. In fact, the original definition of church is just that: ecclesia, a gathering, a group, a coming together, a people that is together. In fact, I would say it is impossible to be a Christian all by yourself. The life of the Christian is not a freelancing life. It is not flying solo. The life of the Christian belongs, first of all, in meeting together regularly, not once or twice a year, but doing it regularly. Just like if you go out and try to exercise once or twice a year, you don't get very far. If I go out and I try to run 5 miles now, I won't get past the first half mile because I haven't been practicing it. But Josh here, he runs regularly. He can do it with no trouble at all. The same thing is for community living together as the body of Christ. And I'm going to say this again. You might think I'm better keep track of the time here. All right. I'm no fan of social media. I know some of you are. That's really okay. Social media makes a lot of nice connections, but no social media connection will be the equivalent to face-to-face meetings with people over time. It always slays me when I see a couple out on a date, pictures of them at a restaurant, and they're each looking at their smartphone while they're waiting for the food to arrive. Look at each other's eyes. Start a conversation. This coming together regularly is essential. And I would say coming together for worship like this is essential. As we become wealthier, as we become more mobile, as there are more competing options that are out there, it's easier to sort of say, I don't need to this week. But like a log that is in a fireplace burning here in the wintertime, if you pull that log out of the fireplace all by itself, what happens? It goes out. It's as it is together that it burns brightly. This is a wonderful passage from Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Read this with me, would you please? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And let's just take a look at some of the activities of the meeting together. teaching of the apostles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Fellowship that's being talked about here is Holy Spirit fellowship. I love the first song that we sang. It's Holy Spirit fellowship. It's not club fellowship. This is not Club Med. This is Holy Spirit that brings together people who are very different. The rich, the poor, the slave, the free, men and women. Those who are on the inside, those who are upper class, those who are low class. The Holy Spirit brings them together. That's the kind of fellowship that we're talking about here. Koinonia is the word. It's made by the Holy Spirit. It's not human created. It's what happens as we gather together in the power of the Holy Spirit. Eating together. I once heard a motto, no eating, no meeting. And I noticed there was a little scramble this morning because the coffee wasn't ready when we first thought this morning. Eating together, fellowshipping together, and prayer. One of the other weeks is about prayer, so I won't say anything more about it, but one of the ways in which we are rooted in community is by praying together. Let's move on. They shared together material resources and money with each other to those who were in need. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Being rooted in community leads to practices of generosity toward each other. Money and material possessions, practical. Not holding on to the stuff that is loaned to us by God, but willingly offering it for the community. We're in the beginning of a new year. I'd like to say to some of you who don't really know what this is like, but I'd encourage you to try tithing. Try taking 10% of your income and giving it to the church as a way of committing yourself to the community, as a way of rooting yourself in community. The most important thing that will happen will not be financial. The most important thing that will happen will be spiritual and what your commitment is to the body that gathers here. Whoever plants just a few seeds gets just a small crop, says the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Whoever plants generously will get a generous harvest. And finally, practicing the awareness of the presence of God. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs. They continued with glad and sincere hearts, verse 46, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number every day. 20 years ago, I invited a neighbor of ours to come to church with us. He was very polite to me, but he said, I don't need to do that. He said, I commune with God in my backyard on Sunday morning. I don't need to get together with other people to do that. Kind of echoes and the individualistic approach that many of us sort of pick up in American culture. In fact, the English language has more words that begin with self than any other language in the whole world. Self-made, self-awareness, self-consciousness, self. Individualism is almost the religion of this culture. And so that's all that he felt was necessary for his own spiritual growth. It's a very individualistic approach. I hear it quite frequently when people say, I'm spiritual but not religious. You hear that? I'm spiritual, but not religious. Spiritual means I've got the thing between me and God straightened out, but it's all the rest of the other people, all that do all that religious stuff, that are the real problem. Well, I would like to say that it's all of you that are the real answer for my own individual difficulties and misunderstandings and problems. We need each other. We are called to gather together and live in the awareness that God is moving among us. Holy Spirit, you are present here. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your holy will is what we long for. all. Let us live, friends, with an awareness that God shows up when we are together. Yes, we need times of solitude and prayer and individual exercises and disciplines, quiet time with the Lord, absolutely. But something happens when we get together with each other, when we are rooted in community. This week, I happened to think of a video I saw last year. It's called Virtual Reality Church. If you haven't seen it, take a look at it. You can get a, it's a spoof, but you can get your virtual reality church and you can select the music, you can select how much conviction you want from the preacher, you can select whether you have baggy jeans or skinny jeans, you can select whether you want Pentecostal or Episcopal or Catholic or Baptist or Mennonite. Oh, I don't know about the Mennonite piece, but you can make the worship service all about you. You even get notifications when the Eagles are coming on. Check it out, Virtual Reality Church. No. This is Reality Church. It's imperfect, but it's where God's salvation works to us and roots us in Christ Jesus. Roots us in community, where we meet together regularly, where we are dedicated to the teaching of the scriptures, to sharing meals together, praying with each other, where we're ready to share money and possessions, let go of that control, give it to God, where we are living with a keen awareness that God's at work. If we can't see anything, it's because we're not looking closely enough. I think it's very fitting that we celebrate new members and baptism this day, in which we remember that we are rooted in community that is rooted in Christ. We are better together than all by ourselves. In fact, we need each other. We can see the original community in the oneship of God, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see community in the oneness of this body that gathers together to embrace and celebrate these steps of faith, which are an occasion for each one of us at the beginning of this year to root ourselves in commitment into the community that is rooted in Christ. Amen.